Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. That means we welcome back in Andrew P. Shea. And we need to announce our winner from our Ask Ross segment, and that is Mike from Lawrenceville, New Jersey. We'll be getting in contact with you, Mike. Yeah, we got a Jersey winner this week.
I know somebody from Andrew. Lawrenceville, so that's why the town struck me. So,
all right, well,
let's keep going.
Anyway, was it Mike that you know from Lawrenceville,
it
Andy?
Is not Mike from Lawrenceville. Sorry.
All right, let's move on here, Andrew. In quarter number one, our lead story was Brent Pry making the move to Virginia Tech. And we promised we would get a little deeper into that decision. First off, for Brent Pry, this is quite the job that he picked up. If you think about it, a few years ago, we had a coordinator, Ricky Ronnie, make the jump to head coaching job. And he went to Old Dominion.
Right.
Joe Moorhead, who I believe has a very good national reputation.
He does.
Experience as a head coach.
Correct.
He just got a job. His job is in the MAC. I believe he went to Akron.
He
and took
the
that
Akron job. Yeah, he left Penn State to be the head coach at Mississippi State.
But now what you have is Brent Pry, who's probably had other jobs available to him in the past. He waited patiently, and here in this year where there's a lot of the coaching changes being made at the top, by that I mean jobs at LSU and USC, they get filled, which opens up jobs at attractive places like Oklahoma and Notre Dame.
Dominoes.
And there's this, right, the domino effect. You end up with Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, a school with a very good football tradition in the ACC, a Power 5 conference.
Yep.
And a very winnable conference.
Yes.
Kudos to him. This was a great job.
It's a good opportunity for Brent. And I think he had some like grad assistant or early coaching career under Beamer. Some seat time at Virginia Tech as well. So he's been to the school. He's coached there before, way back when he was a Greenhorn coach. But I think Virginia Tech made a good, really good hire. And I think Brent Pry landed a pretty good job for him. I really, really do. I think he's a very good coordinator, and I think he'll need a little time, but I think he's set up well to be a head coach. So I think it was a good hire on both fronts, and it's his time, right? Like, you felt it coming, didn't you, Jimmy? I mean, you were like, I think you said it during the offseason, like, you know, how much longer does Brent Pry stay at Penn State? Because, you know, two or three of the last 4 years, you've heard his name circulating around, and he was just patiently waiting, and it is his time.
And he played this smart. The defensive coordinator position at Penn State is a pretty good job. And he's good friends with James Franklin. I don't think James Franklin would ever make a move changing out defensive coordinators on his own. He would not ask Brent Pry to leave. So he had very good job security. And so he had the ability to be patient and wait for the best of jobs. When Joe Moorhead took the job at Mississippi State, that's a tough, tough job going into the Southeast Conference in
yes,
the same division with LSU, Auburn, Alabama, not to mention your crossover games. Here with Virginia Tech, he's going to have a manageable schedule in the ACC, a chance to win, and he's sitting in Virginia, a pretty good place to recruit players also.
Yeah, and one of the things he's gonna have to do for Virginia Tech as their head coach right away is fight off his former boss at Penn State from robbing him, robbing Virginia. Now, I'm not talking the DMV. I'm talking Virginia of some of the top players. Because Penn State's been killing it in Virginia the last 3 years in terms of recruiting. So that's going to be sort of one of those first things Brent Pry has to sort of, you know, work on. Not only is he fighting Virginia, right, the Cavaliers, but, you know, Penn State's been killing both those schools. They've been killing Virginia and Virginia Tech and Virginia and in terms of the recruiting. So Brett's going to have to kind of fight that one.
He will also have to battle North Carolina, which has come into Virginia.
Yes,
also.
They have.
Let's get to this, Andy. So Brent Pry's been around for a while at Penn State. What's going to be his legacy?
So that's a blunt, simple, pretty simple question, not easy answer. So I would say he's a very good coordinator, right? Like I would say Brent Pry was a very good coordinator. I think he had four defenses that he coordinated during his Penn State tenure that finished in the top 25 in total defenses. I would say another part of his legacy from a Penn State perspective is, you know, his defenses were generally good and pretty well coordinated, but they definitely had trouble closing game and coughed up many a fourth quarter lead. That's part of his legacy. I think he developed talent, but I also think at times, especially like when he had all those defensive ends, you had trouble seeing that translate onto the field. They weren't not developing as players. It wasn't always translated onto the field by those players. Does that make sense to you, Jimmy?
Yes.
But you knew those players were developing. It just didn't always translate to the field. My biggest criticism of him, and if you got him in a room, the timeshare that he did with Micah Parsons in his first year was a bad decision. Sharing time with Koa Farmer, you could see it after two or three games. You're like, no disrespect to Koa Farmer, but like these guys should not be sharing this field. This should be this guy's position. And he was ready. And he was just a little more patient as a coordinator and coach than he probably should have been with the player that he had at his disposal. But I would say, generally speaking, his defenses were very well coordinated. And I think he's a really good football coach.
My issue with Brent Pry has been, and you alluded to it, that closing things out. You know, in the past, we've had those situations where it seemed like on third and long, they would give up big plays. But more importantly, it was these fourth quarter leads.
Yep.
And
from the fans,
the offense did not help. You know,
nope.
When you want to have them get the ball, possess it for 5 or 6 minutes with a drive, keep the other team's offense off the field, we haven't necessarily seen that. But with that said, you could go back to the Rose Bowl against USC, the two-score leads against Ohio State in the fourth quarter that they gave up. And this year, we saw early in the season, it seemed like this team was finally coming up big at the end of games against Auburn, against Wisconsin. But as the season progressed, we had that trend start all over again. Leads in the fourth quarter, again, I get it. Against Iowa, you didn't have the offense helping, but
correct,
it was still a two-score lead. And you saw similar things happen against Michigan State.
Yep.
And
don't forget about Indiana last year.
Against Indiana last year, where they completely dominated them until the very last drive. So in any one of those games, you can come away from it saying, hey, that happens to every team once in a while. But when it becomes a trend, that's where the issue is, Andrew.
Yeah, and I think the one key phrase you said to me was, and I think in 2021, he actually, there are examples that you can point to, but overall, I think his defense, the defenses that he coordinated the last two seasons really carried a lot of water up the hill for this team, because the offense wasn't complementary on many shapes and forms. 2020, it was just the turnovers and the poor play at quarterback put that defense in so many binds. But he figured out a way to keep that team competitive. This year as well, you pointed out the right examples, and they were fourth quarter again. But how many games, if you look back, they're not in these games if it's not for that defense. So I think you have to do that, and you have to say they didn't get nearly as much complimentary help as they needed or you would like. And so they had to carry a lot of water for this team.
Let's turn back now to Penn State and the long-term ramifications. They will need a replacement for him. And it's tough to say, especially going outside, you know, naming different individuals. But just in general, are you looking for an internal replacement, external replacement, Andrew?
So there's been a lot of turnover in this coaching staff, right? And there might be more coming, you know, because Brett needs a strong offensive coordinator. There might be one on the Penn State staff, and he coaches running backs right now. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but there's been a ton of turnover. If you think back to, you know, 2017 and, you know, in the last 4 years, there's been a lot of turnover. So I think Anthony Poindexter, we mentioned in quarter one, I think there's some merit there. I mean, James likes to either hire from within or hire somebody that he knows that he's coached with or that members of his staff have coached with. So that's what his sort of MO is for hiring. And, you know, Anthony Poindexter, he's done a great job with the safeties, right? Like, if you think of early in James Franklin's tenure, member safeties, and now you think of safeties. It was always like the mystery meat position. You're like, oh my gosh, they can't get the safeties right. Well, he's kind of helped them get the safety rights. He has some defensive coordinator seat time at UConn. He was the co-defensive coordinator at Purdue. So there is a good resume, but, you know, who knows what James Franklin's looking at. I'm just, you know, telling you about what he's done in the past and a strong candidate that looks like it's right next door in the office.
Well, and do you have a case? Is not Poindexter from Virginia? Would he not make a nice defensive coordinator choice for Brent Pry and help him in the recruiting of the area? So
could be.
My take is, does James Franklin have an external guy like Mike Yursich, someone he's yearned for years?
He might. Not? James probably. Oh, I'm sure James has a list. We both know James has a list, right? And James has a process that he'll go through. That's crystal clear. He's outstanding at sort of figuring that out. So do I think it's a concern? No. Do we have any idea what he's going to do? No, but we know there's a guy in the office that sort of fits the mold that he's sort of looked at before.
It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. But Andrew, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.